RCR with Paul Brennan.
Do we have a looming electricity crisis in New Zealand? And are urgent actions needed to prevent blackouts? Joining us again on RCR, I think it was October last year, we spoke with Brian Leyland, consulting engineer based here in New Zealand with experience in all aspects of the power industry. You've probably heard of Brian before. Brian, it's great to have you back. Thanks for coming on again.
Thank you for having me. It's very nice.
Okay. Do we have a crisis on our hands here? Like a real crisis?
Not a real crisis, but the possibility of a real crisis gets closer day by day.
Right. I want to read a piece from something that you've written, just a sentence from it. The electricity market and the electricity authority have failed in their primary responsibility, ensuring a reliable and economic energy supply. How could that be so?
Well, they've just lost the plot. They're concentrating on other things. They have blind confidence that the market will provide, and so they stop looking at the market and looking at what's happening and run around putting sticking plaster on the more obvious problems with the market.
So they're kind of playing pretend, are they?
I'm not sure what they're doing. I think it's a lack of basic electricity industry expertise within the organisations.
Well, people might be surprised to hear that. Maybe. I mean, they don't let us loose on the air if we don't know what we're doing. How come these people are in these positions and they don't know what they're doing?
Well, if you regard electricity as a commodity like any other, which it isn't, then all you've got to do is look after the market and everything else will look after itself. You don't have to understand electricity, and all you have to do is understand markets. But the trouble is they've got a market that doesn't work.
Okay, where to start? Why isn't the market working then? Because I've just been looking at the increases coming, and it's all around, you know, modernizing infrastructure and keeping the basics going. But we've been doing that for over 100 years, haven't we? There's nothing new in that.
And what's new is the market's time horizon is very short term. Before, we had to have a long term time horizon, and the objective of the power planners was to make sure we could survive a dry year. And if they did that, then we were pretty sweet. But now it's left to the market participants to make sure that we've got enough fuel reserves for a dry year. And there's no strong inducement for them to do that, make sure it happens. And as two departing CEOs said, the way to make money in this market is to keep the system on the edge of a shortage. If you keep the system on the edge of a shortage, when you get a dry year, you're going to be in trouble. That's it.
Yes, but electricity's different, isn't it? It underpins our, well, standard of living's a bit glib, our entire way of life. It's not just a nice to have. You got to have it. Goes off and respirators stop and people die.
Yeah. I have never, as I can recall, I've never seen a discussion on this from the Electricity Authority, recognizing that its vital role in the economy. It's a market commodity and the market will look after it.
All right. So what are some of the conditions that we have at the moment that could have, what, rolling blackouts even? What's put us in this position?
Okay. Primarily, a shortage of gas. When the government killed gas, new gas exploration 6 years ago, 6-7 years ago, then the gas industry stopped exploring. And if they had kept on exploring, we would probably have new wells producing now. And we don't. So the primary reason is shortage of gas driven by a very foolish move by the government. And one of the consequences of not having enough gas is we burn more coal. And the whole objective was to reduce carbon dioxide. And coal produces more carbon dioxide than gas. It doesn't even make common sense. Every other country is burning more gas and less coal. We burn more coal and less gas and think we're clever.
Who came up with that persuasion effort? Because it's one thing for politicians to make policy and, you know, they're thinking of how it looks for their benefit. But presumably someone told them that there was a certain way to go and that it would be all right. Who would those people have been advising this?
The objectives placed on him by the market are to keep the system on the edge of a shortage. And that's what they do. They've got a short time horizon because it's the market price changes every half hour. They've got no obligation to plan long term. And they just sort of go from day to day, hoping that everything will come out right. That's the way the market's structured, and they behave the way the market's structured.
So yeah. They just, and any other market might be okay, right? Like the car market or the whatever market. But when you're talking about electricity, it's a different thing.
It's absolutely different. And the critical things are there's no alternative. If baked beans get too expensive, you can go and buy something else. You can't run a computer on gas. There's nothing else that'll do it. And the other thing is that things should have price elasticity. If the price goes up, the demand should go down. But electricity is worth far more than its price, especially if there's a good TV program on and if you're threatened with a blackout.
Yeah.
So there isn't a price, there isn't a change in demand when the price goes up. And anyway, because people are on longer term contracts for a year or two, they don't see the price rises. Right now, the price is 30 or 40 cents a kilowatt hour wholesale, which is above the current retail price. But hardly anybody sees this price. So they go on using electricity. And the whole thing just doesn't work.
What about the, you know, the persuasion effort, I'll use that term again, around renewables? Because that, at some point, not too long ago, was seen as the way through, as the sort of the magical thing that will make it all right. But that's not the case, is it?
No, they're delusional.
Delusional?
There's two problems with renewables. You have to have about 2,500 megawatts of renewables to supply about 1,000 megawatts of load, because renewables are generating the equivalent of full load for 30% of the time. Geothermal plant generates full load 98% of the time. So you've got this problem. So when the wind is blowing and the sun's shining, you've got 1,000 megawatts of load and 2,500 megawatts of generation with nowhere to go. So the price crashes. So this wind and solar don't earn any money because they've crashed the price.
Yeah, they're very expensive to put in, right?
Yeah, they're quite expensive to put in, especially when you consider that for every 1,000 megawatts of load, you need 2,500 megawatts of wind and solar. So they say it's $2,000 a kilowatt, which is cheaper than geothermal. But geothermal produces a reasonable amount of electricity. They don't. The other thing is that when the sun doesn't shine and the wind doesn't blow, where's all the power coming from? How can you get enough power? Our lake storage just isn't enough, and particularly at the moment when they're about one third empty when they should be full. And batteries won't do it. They're good for a couple of hours, not for 5 or 6 days of wind drought. And there's just nothing else. So the inevitable result, if we keep on building wind and solar, is going to be that the wind and solar doesn't make much money because it's not earning anything when the wind's blowing hard, and it's not anything when it's not blowing at all.
The worst of all worlds, really, isn't it? The way you put it.
The consumers will get hit with big price rises inevitably and frequent blackouts. And that's very, very bad for economy. You can't black out a dairy factory in the middle of a dairy season. You can't black out all sorts of things. So if we do have rotating blackouts, they're going to have to fall on the residential load. Because anything else...
Because we've already seen that. We've already seen some quite large-scale businesses in crucial provincial areas fold because of the power price situation. There almost seemed to be an acceptance of sacrificing those job producing entities as, oh, well, okay, it's just the way the market works. It seems quite reckless.
Yeah, no. And they are fairly big electricity consumers, so price matters to them. But other industries just shut down if there's no power. I mean, a dairy industry may not use a lot of electricity, But if it loses its electricity, it can't produce anything, and a whole lot of cows don't get milked. And so even if you use a small amount of power, it's nearly always critical to your staying in business. So blackouts are very, very serious in a modern economy.
What needs to change then? Obviously, the market is not working for the benefit of the people who funded it originally, right? Let's not forget that. We all paid our taxes back in the day, and
You can argue that we own all the hydro schemes already. Well, we did. They were snatched off
well, we can easily take them back if we
us.
wanted to. Lucky I'm not in charge, I might even do that. But what, how does the market need to, or does there even need to be a market?
A market is a good idea if it's properly organized. And my contention is that what you need is someone coordinating the electricity system, just as you have somebody coordinating the roads and the sewage and the water supply overall, and then hiring various power stations to generate when he needs them to come together and give us all together a lowest cost of electricity.
Have you heard anything from any of the politicians that gives you any sort of hope?
Well, Wayne Jones has promoted a comprehensive review of the electricity industry. If that goes ahead, and if they get the right consultants, and if they follow the terms of reference rather than closing them down, it could do quite a bit of good. And if it looks at the market and alternative markets, it may do a lot of good.
Brian, what's your reaction to the news over the weekend regarding Marsden Point and the refinery company planning to generate electricity from a new diesel plant? Shane Jones has been posting about this. I guess it's some use for Marsden Point, which is pretty useless to us now. Wasn't not too long ago, but is now. But that's diesel. That'll rattle a few people. Ooh, diesel.
It's better than nothing. I mean, what it does is it illustrates how serious the situation is. When we've got to resort to putting in diesels to keep the lights on, we're in deep trouble. We're looking like Nigeria. In Nigeria, 30% of the power comes from emergency diesel generators in all the hotels and businesses, and they're flaring gas off seas. We're just about in that situation.
Would it be sensible to go out and buy a little Jenny right now?
Maybe if you've got something, if you've got a business and it's seriously critical, yeah, maybe.
Like trying to keep the refrigerator on in your little
Yeah.
cafe?
Well, if we have rotating blackouts, it probably won't be off
Oh,
long.
okay. Yep.
But if you've
Gotcha.
got an electricity critical business, either small or big, then maybe it's worthwhile.
You've written a piece, and I've just been reading it before we started chatting, which kind of lays it out. You know, electricity crisis, why are we at risk? Can renewables save us, et cetera, et cetera. Where were you hoping for that to be published?
I was hoping the Herald would publish. For the last 40 years, I've quite often published my articles on electricity. Once upon a time, they used to pay me for them, but recently they've got less and less interest from them, and I can't even get a response. It's very disappointing.
Because this is a national issue, big time, why do you think you're not getting a response?
I have no idea. I have no idea. Maybe because
Yeah.
they've discovered that I'm a climate skeptic, and therefore there's no way that they will publish anything I write. That's one possibility.
Yeah, could be onto something there. All right, so the if there are any blackouts, any cuts, it'll be the public that will have to kind of wear them, right?
It'll, at a guess, it'll be a couple, an hour or 2 hours rotating.
Okay, well, it's sobering to speak with you. Good to know what we're up against, and hopefully, someone will see the light, and we can kind of get back to doing or operating the system for the benefit of people and not profiteering, it sounds like to me.
Yeah, it's not even profiteering. It's just a mess.
Just a mess. Okay. All right, Brian Leyland, thanks for coming back on RCR. Let's see if you get published at any point, but maybe we'll put a link up to what you've written with this chat. People can see for themselves, at least it gets out that way.
Okay. And thank you very much. It's been lovely to talk to you.